everyone. I'm Dick Simmons, and we're sweating to the coregasm.
We're working our core.
Oh my god, that's right. Really good.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome to the Trisexuals Podcast. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
And let me tell you, Sexplorers, we've missed you so much. This episode, it's just going to be the three of us talking. No guests or anything. To be fair, we do have Marbles, our cat, as a guest. She's sitting in on this with us. But she oftentimes is here lingering in the background making noises that I have to try to edit out. But other than that, it's going to be just a regular little conversation between the three of us. And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of miss it. I miss you guys.
I totally missed it.
Yes, I've missed it too, very much.
Let's get into what's playing. Who's up first? Okay, it looks like, Kit, you are listed first under what's playing. What have you got for us?
Ooh, well, I have two things from a company. I believe one of them I've talked about before, but it's worth revisiting because I really like this company's stuff. So I have a couple things from A Crow's Nest, and I've seen them recently put out some really beautiful, like, mother-of-pearl looking eggs and just beautiful, crazy stuff. So a fellow collector sent me, actually, one of these. This is a quartermaster's tail, and you really need to take a look at the picture of this. It has scales all over it, like these little ridges. It's amazing. And it's like just this really pearlescent-y, you know, pink and purple. It's just really beautiful. It's a really unusual design, you know, with a little like triangular shaped dragon tail thing at the end. And it's a really neat sculpture. And along with it, I've got another toy I've had for a while that is the Leonius. And this one is actually, it's a maw. It's a muzzle. You can see nose. Ooh. And fangs, and then this big long tongue. So the tongue is the shaft, like this big long forked tongue, which is so cool. And pictures really don't quite do it justice. It looks just black and white, but it's actually got like this iridescent purple and green in the black shaft, and the white is metallic-y marbled. Like everything they do is sort of metallic-y and pearlescent, which is really so cool. So I've enjoyed seeing the designs and the colorations and things they're doing. It's a great little company. If you haven't checked out A Crow's Nest yet, you definitely should go take a look.
It looks like everything's kind of like pirate ship themed, which is cool.
Yes, which is awesome, which I love so much.
All right. Lily, what have you been playing with lately?
So I actually got this wonderful toy from Xenocat Artifacts for my birthday. It is UV reactive. It's an Aether or Aether.
I'm pretty sure it's Aether.
Pretty sure. And it's beautiful. It has pinks and greens and blues, and it has a little heart on the bottom.
Yeah, the base of it is kind of shaped like a heart, and it has kind of a nice curved shaft that comes up to a tip, and it almost looks like it has like a sheath on it. And then around it is these almost like rib-like structures. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it.
Amazing gift.
I'm really excited too about the base. Like Xenocat makes just the most beautiful bases I have mm-hmm. ever seen. And you're so lucky to have one with a cool design in the base. They're amazing.
Wow.
Good, great bases for debasing ourselves.
Oh, the puns.
There's not been that many puns. I've been keeping it down low when we've been having guests on.
That is true. We've been punless.
I don't know about punless. All right, so quickly, I'll cover what I have. I don't have any sex toys to talk about. Haven't really been doing much in the sex toy department. But, so Thunder was just recently, and I ended up picking up this awesome pair. What do they call them?
Leg harness.
Leg harness. They're called leg harnesses. They're kind of like these cuffs that go around your thighs and a little bit higher up around your waist. I just thought that they looked really sexy. This beautiful green and black leather. And it went really well with my Sebastian outfit because he has green and black hair as well. So I ended up putting that on for a little bit of thunder and walking around. I don't think we've actually done any sex in it yet, if you can believe it. Oh, wait. I was wearing it during the photo shoot with Shiera, which we'll talk about later. But I didn't actually have sex in that technically. I was using a strap-on.
We had sex with Thunder, honey, with it on. Because I remember getting pictures of your hard cock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we did have sex. Probably in the first day.
Get out!
You fucked me so good, it erased my memory. Honey, it was probably at 2 a.m. at night after I had been on my feet for God knows 20 hours or something like that.
Yeah, it was before bed. But anyway.
Anyway, that's kind of what I've been playing with.
Actually, while we're on the topic, how was Thunder this year for you?
So Thunder in the Mountains. This is a convention. We've talked about it on this podcast before. It's Denver's premier BDSM event and fetish event. It takes place here. It's, 3-4 days, something like that? There's play nights in the dungeon. And there's a lot of classes and stuff like that that goes on. We've talked about it before. Go back to that podcast, which we'll link in the show notes if you want to hear more about it. What some of you might not know is I'm actually, for the past 2.5 years, technically, I've been the director of social media. So running like their Twitter and their FetLife stuff and, you know, that sort of stuff. And also kind of doing their website and digital stuff and all that good stuff. Here's the thing. BDSM and me have kind of a weird relationship. Now, as we've discussed before, Lily and I started off in the land of swinging. So, like, purely sexual with only the smallest little dashes of fetish, you know, sprinkled in. Like, maybe a handcuff here, maybe a blindfold there.
Okay, we bought our first nine-tail whip or whatever, or I guess flogger, at a bar.
Yeah, not an actual bondage event or anything like that. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
I mean, we were very vanilla.
We were pretty vanilla. Vanilla swingers. And then we found our way into BDSM. So here's the thing. Lily kind of, you know, has found things that she's into, like, right away. And she's, like, into everything. A true trisexual when it comes to BDSM
stuff. I do.
Somebody's like,
hey,
you want me to electrocute your nipples? Great. Hey, you want me to tie you up with saran wrap and tickle your feet? Awesome. You want me to tie you to a tree and whip you? All right, right on. My relationship has been a little bit more complicated with BDSM and all the BDSM events and stuff we've gone to. It's not specific to Thunder. But this last Thunder, I feel like a number of things in my mind started to coalesce and I came to some realizations and maybe more to the tune of, you know, realizing that maybe not everything is for me. And it sounds like I didn't have a good time, and I guess in a way I kind of didn't. It's not like I had a bad time, but I just kind of realized, like, sitting there in the dungeon and everyone's having a good time, and I just couldn't find an activity that really was for me. Now, a lot of people might say, well, Max, what about pony play and pup play and all that stuff? You know, it's funny. We talk about that stuff a lot, and I like to dress up as Sebastian, and I've been a pup before. But it's become kind of clear to me that I don't pup or pony in the same way as other people do. When we have, like, Tromper on or other people that do pup and pony play and pet play, they can talk at length about all the fun things they like to do, like going after a ball and doing tricks for treats and learning how to fetch, you know, or learning different steps if you're a pony, pulling carts and that sort of thing. Now, to be fair, I do enjoy pulling carts. But for me, it seems that I prefer and I'm far more interested in activities that have some sort of sexual completion to them or have some sort of sexual leaning or ideally just sexual all the way through. Not all, and this might surprise some people, not all pet and pony players are into the sexual aspects of it. And in fact, things like Thunder, it would be very rare to see sexual, like true sexual stuff happening with the pups, true sexual stuff happening with the ponies. In fact, this year sex between two ponies in the dungeon, which was really hot for me to watch. But it was, I think, the first time I've seen proper pony sex happen in the dungeon.
Yeah, the only other time was that I can remember was when we were at Crucible and someone got fisted.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a different animal altogether. But the thing that I've kind of like noticed about BDSM, and especially when we first started at a place called Rochester Kink Society, Rochester Kink Society, you know, that dungeon didn't even allow sex at all. Like, you know, at most, you might be able to... I don't even think you were allowed to touch a cock.
Unless there was a condom, you couldn't touch a cock, and then they couldn't ejaculate or anything.
They couldn't ejaculate.
Because there was no, like, there was no liquid transfer at all, which is really kind of crazy.
Except for kissing.
Kissing, and then blood play. There was blood play.
Right. So a lot of these places, you know, just sex isn't the main reason people go there. And you know what? That's okay. I'm glad that people can get some real enjoyment out of, you know, blood play and getting things zapped and getting whipped and all that stuff. But this is the realization I came to at Thunder. For Max, in this life, the way that I am, I need to have a sexual aspect to it. That's all there is to it. And I've probably known that for a while, but I didn't accept it. You know, I kept trying to push myself to try to find something else that I enjoyed. But I think this past Thunder, I came to terms with, you know what? I'm into sex stuff, and that's okay. Now, Kit, I know that you and I have talked a little bit about BDSM stuff before, and I think you were a little bit surprised to hear about some of the attitudes that they have towards sex. I don't know if you have any, like, input on this.
Oh, I was completely surprised to hear, because when I first heard of BDSM, I was thinking, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, and it's like, I thought it all had a sexual component. I didn't know anything about BDSM, and so it blew me away that there was so much of it that didn't have a sexual component. And I'm a little bit like you, Max, in that way. I'm interested in something that has an erotic component, and I'm curious enough, I'll try most things. There's a few things I've got hard limits on, but I'm curious enough, I'll try things, especially if I get to interact with people who are really into them. Because I like to hear, what do you like about it? What do you do?
Absolutely.
But I don't intrinsically find things so interesting if there's not a sexual component. So I do, you know, I think there's a way to eroticize most anything. And I have enjoyed integrating some of the things. You know, the ropes are really interesting, floggers.
Absolutely.
You know, there are different things that you can use in an erotic way. And that's been fun to sort of branch out into that. But BDSM isn't really my core, like, sexual orientation for that kind of thing, you know? It's something I
like
dip my
toe
in. But
yeah, and it's something that you like to use as, like, kind of a spice to make sex more interesting. And see, I can even see it from, like, I can understand wanting, you know, maybe an almost pure BDSM scene. You know, like, let's say that I'm getting flogged or something like that. But the pivotal moment for me is, am I getting off at the end of it? Like, am I getting rewarded for having taken that pain? If yes, then it's something that, like, might be of interest to me.
Well,
but if I'm... The whipping itself does nothing for me, as far as that's concerned. What were you about to say?
Well, I've learned something about myself with this stuff, too. I like things that have a component that are, you know, sort of light or funny or... But, like, if things get serious and heavy or, like, really raw, you know, like, really deep, emotional, and raw, whatever, like... That tone, no matter what you do, really isn't my thing. So it's more a matter, like, I can implement a lot of those BDSM things if it's done in, like, a lighthearted, like, playful way.
Yeah.
But it, you know, anything, just even regular vanilla sex stuff, if it's really serious and heavy, not really so interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'd say that if you go to a dungeon, you'll see both sides of that, right? But, I mean, you've even heard people we've had on the show talk about doing a scene where they dressed up as a clown and popped balloons on someone, you know? and those things I find very, very interesting. But at the same time, it almost to me feels like people do interesting, funny scenes like that to be interesting and funny. And that's okay. But then I'm kind of like, well, what exactly is the point of it all. You know, and there's some people in that dungeon that take themselves too seriously. Now, Lily will represent, Lily in this argument will represent, you know, the people that do get a lot of enjoyment out of dungeons.
And really, and I was going to say, it's like, because I've had the scenes where, you know, they've been really heavy and emotional. Very emotional, very cathartic. And there's been this emotional release at the end. It's almost like you've ran a marathon and you're beating yourself up. You want to get to the finish. You can do this. You can do it. And then at the end, it's like you cross that finish line and you're just so relieved. It's almost like complete bliss and happiness and peace.
I can understand it. And I can totally see where you're coming from. And that's one thing I want to make clear. Like, I can understand why people would enjoy this stuff. Mm-hmm. I get it, but I don't get it necessarily.
Yeah,
for
and
myself.
I understand that completely.
And I've partaken in, you can almost call it a scene, the way that I, you know, will do long distance running, like go through mm-hmm. like the pain and endurance and then feel absolutely amazing on the other end. And I can see how that might relate to the BDSM stuff. But for some reason in the dungeon, with people all around me, mm-hmm. I don't feel the need that that's the time for me to do my pushing my limits and endurance. I just want to have fun. I just want to do something sexual. I don't yeah. need, I have so much pain in my daily life. I do suffer from various forms of chronic pain, as I recently found out. I didn't realize that it was chronic pain. Then I was talking actually to Kit, who told me, yeah, that's the definition of chronic pain. I don't even ask how I didn't realize that, like, oh, having pain all the time is chronic pain. Who knew? I think that that's part of the reason why I don't have like a lot of interest in exploring that in the dungeon. You know?
And see, and this is like one of the things, like, if you remember, we had a Kink in the Cure, we had Tim on.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing where, you know, you are putting yourself in this vulnerable spot. It, to me, I'm actually was healing through a lot of the stuff I went through in my teenage years and early adult life that I had gone through, and it was a way for me to get through some of that.
And I'm envious that it can be such a positive and rewarding experience for you. One, kind of going on that a little bit, and I don't want to harp on this too much, because I will say I don't have a lot of offers to play in the dungeon. In fact, I've never been outright offered to have a scene in the dungeon. Lily gets lots of offers to play in the dungeon, and that's just kind of the fact of how things are going. But the reason I don't want to harp on this too much is because I know that if I approach people to scene, I wouldn't have much of a problem with them saying yes. But here's the thing. That is hell for me. I don't want to approach people. And part of the problem is I'm a tall, kind of like bigger guy, semi-muscular maybe. Let's say
you look
athletic.
Very military.
I look very military.
Yeah.
I'm not what people, the sort of things that people would expect me to be into based on my appearance, they would expect me to be a dom. They'd expect me to want to top people and be kind of in charge. Unfortunately, I'm willing to try those things, but I'm not very good at those things. I don't have the confidence to pull that off. So what my ideal like dungeon scenario is, you know, because if anything, I'm going to be more of a submissive permission. Mm-hmm. Position. I want somebody to approach me to scene, but it's just realistically not going to happen. Nobody's mm-hmm. going to approach the 6'3" guy and be like, hey, can I beat you?
Honestly, I think they're all just afraid of me.
Well, I don't think that helps necessarily either, right? Is I'm clearly a couple unit when I enter here. But that doesn't stop people from asking you. Lily gets nonstop offers to
yeah,
play
like
in
a Thunder,
scene.
How many scenes did I end up having? Like 5, 6?
They call that a dance card, which I think is interesting. Yeah. I wasn't familiar with this term before BDSM, but I think it's used in all sorts of things. But the dance card is who you're going to like scene with. So Lily would have like, she couldn't fit all the scenes that people were offering her. No. She has to decide, okay, I'm going to do this one over that
but
one.
But I do have to say, one of my favorite scenes, besides, you know, my pup play, which I'll get into in a bit, was actually one of our sexplorers, which I won't put his name out there, actually had his first scene in a dungeon, which was a foot fetish scene worshipping my little hoovesies.
On that note, I do want to congratulate us a little bit because usually I'm kind of like a hover partner around Lily when she's in the dungeon. Yeah. She's getting all these scenes and stuff, and I usually like hover around and like, oh God, you know, what's going on? And maybe, you know, I don't know if I want to say that I'm jealous. I don't
it's
have
like
too much of that.
Kind of puppy dogging a little bit.
Puppy dogging my own mate. This thunder is the first time that I actually, Lily and I, like, I said separated. That sounds bad. Lily went to the dungeon entirely without me. I'd been exhausted from doing the director stuff all damn day. And I just wanted some peace and quiet up in the room. And Lily
playing his Switch, Sonic.
No, I was jerking off on the bed.
You told me you were playing the Switch.
I call my dick Switch, all right? What do you want? But so Lily went down to the dungeon and we had discussed ahead of time, like, you know, I might come down, I might not, but I want you to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And she went down and seemed with somebody else and I wasn't there at all. And I think that might not sound like a lot, but for us and the history that Lily and I have been through, that was a big deal. And I think very powerful and positive for both of us that we were mm-hmm. able to enjoy ourselves or with somebody else. You know, Lily in a sex dungeon, you know, though not as much sex as I would like, as previously discussed. But
yeah,
so that's good. What the hell? We were on to something else. I'm sorry.
We were talking about the foot fetish.
Yes.
The foot worship, which was absolutely amazing. I've had, you know, a couple people, you know, besides Max, rub my feet, and Max has sucked on my toes and all that stuff.
Ew! Don't tell people that!
But this was the first, like, real, like, actual scene, I want to say, with someone. And, I mean, they were just all about the feet, the worship. I mean, it was pretty erotic.
Foot worship is actually amazing. Like, I didn't realize this because I don't really have a foot fetish myself until, like, people, you know, popped up who had foot fetish for my feet. And it's the best thing ever to have someone worship your feet and do all kinds of things. Like, you would be amazed at the creative things that can be done with feet. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. And then afterwards, a nice foot massage. So it was nice. Let's see. What else was going on at Thunder that I had?
Well, Lily was in charge, well, not in charge of vendors. She was the assistant to the director of vendors there. So that was cool. You got to talk to a lot of different companies that produce sex toys. Mm-hmm. Lust Arts was there. We were very excited to see them.
And Agreeable Agony.
Agreeable Agony, one of the places we've talked about on the show before. You know, I never mentioned where my leather cuffs came from.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Deviant Leather. They were one of the people there. Yeah, lots of cool vendors. We also talked to the Sexual Health Alliance. They were there. We talked to them a little bit about the podcast. We might be talking to them a little bit, but yeah, that was really cool. They were one of the sponsors. Oh, and if we didn't mention it, we were a sponsor of Thunder. We were a white level sponsor, and our banners were literally hung up in the dungeon.
Oh my God, you should totally tell them about what happened when Kronos was putting together the dungeon.
This was the best part about Thunder. One of our friends who actually moderates the Trisexuals chat helps assemble the dungeon for Thunder. So the banners were being hung up in there, and a person that neither one of us knew was looking at the banners like, oh, the Trisexuals podcast. I love that podcast. They're really great. I'd listened to their episode on Thunder, and it really prepared me for what to see here, the whole thing. And so our friend overheard this and said, oh, actually, I know them, and I can introduce you in this whole thing. So, but that was like about the highest praise that we could receive. So thank you so much. If you're listening right now, it was excellent getting to meet you.
I wish I could have been at Thunder. Every year I intend to go, and then something comes up and I can't. But it sounds like you guys had an amazing time and learned some really important things about yourself, even if some parts weren't amazing while you were going through them. It's amazing to learn more about yourself. So that's
true. After the fact, I feel really positive about it. But I mean, during it, I was a really sad lump, and Lily was very worried about it. A lot of people were very worried about me, actually.
We almost had an intervention in the hotel room.
Wait, who almost had an intervention?
You did.
No, I mean, who almost planned an intervention on me?
Me and the person with the foot worship and Krav.
Oh, jeez. Were they worried about me?
And Tromper.
Yeah, I was kind of a soggy loaf. But sometimes that's the way it is when you're going through a learning experience. You're learning a little bit about yourself. I feel so much better about it afterwards.
Yeah, and, you know, going to a dungeon and going to a BDSM event, you know, now that Max and I have gone to quite a few at this point, and it was actually refreshing because one of the people that went there this year, we know, and it was their first time at an event like this. And so it was really interesting to walk around with this person and see it through their eyes again, you know, to see how they're looking at the world. And I'm really curious, Kit, like, if you get a chance to go to one of these, what your experience is going to be.
Yeah, because I have yet to be at an actual dungeon. So it will be really interesting. For sure.
There's certain things that you'll probably want to avoid.
Yeah, like, sure. There's definitely some crazy stuff. And, oh, man. So there is one class I want to talk about because it definitely affected me for a while. And I don't know if this
you
is...
You told me it didn't.
It did.
And see, here we go. I just want to have fun and sex and get a hand job dressed up like a pony. And Lily wants to talk about suturing.
Oh my god.
Ooh, I would probably pass on that. You're right. I don't do well with the blood and you know, there anything really that wasn't... breaks the skin, I'm not real big on.
To be honest, there wasn't really that much blood. To be quite honest,
all right,
right out
I there. Have an idea.
Yeah.
I have an idea, and I think that this will make everyone happy. Because I can tell you, I'm one of the people that if I was listening to a podcast and they wanted to start talking about suturing, I'm going to want to check the fuck out of there.
Okay, so can but we listen, have a no, different podcast
no,
where
I have,
can talk about it?
I have an idea. Why don't you listen? I have an idea. Here's the idea. And because I know that there's also, there's 1% of you out there, or maybe even 5% of you out there, like, oh yeah, I want to hear Lily talk about suturing. So here's the deal for everyone involved in this situation right now. We're going to not talk about it right at this moment. We're going to do the rest of the podcast. And then after we do the credits, after we've said goodbye, that whole thing, we will add a little Lily addendum to the end where she gets to talk about suturing and all that stuff. So here is your warning, and I will give you a warning later on. Dear listener, if you want to hear stuff about suturing, listen after the credits. Wait until after the music. If you don't want to hear that shit, then turn the podcast off when you hear the end music. Is that going to work for everyone?
Yes.
Sounds fair.
I don't know if Kit will stay on.
I want you to be able to talk about, because I do think, in effect, like, this is what we're about. We're about people finding new things, sexual not, though, for my taste, a little bit more sexual would be great. And that's what this is. But, you know, suturing is a little bit deep end, and it's kind of a triggering sort of thing.
It totally is. But one other thing I want to actually mention about Thunder before we move on to a different subject is Chip.
Oh, yeah.
So
Chip is Lily's pup persona.
I was about to say that, but yes, thank you. So Chip, I actually, this Thunder, I got into the deepest pup headspace I'd ever been in before. And
it's true. She forgot how to talk.
I was probably in pup headspace for a good 2 hours. It was absolutely amazing, and I was getting treats, and there was this amazing, there was another deer there. Oh my god, I totally forgot.
Oh, a beautiful deer. Okay, I wish you had seen this deer.
What was it was a wolf deer.
Yeah, wolf deer. She had fangs and stuff, but Kit, I mean, you've seen people, you've probably seen videos of some people pet playing, right? This deer had the most amazing mannerisms of a deer. She sold it 160%. Like, she was a deer.
Wow.
Like, that's it. Like, the way that she, like, she would kind of, like, tilt her head to the side and, like, nose up. And she would just be in this, like, deer headspace. And absolutely beautiful. She had this, like, black and white bodysuit with, like, these sharp lines on it. She had this custom deer mask made with antlers on it. And, just incredible. Most beautiful thing I've seen in the dungeon.
Oh my god, it was absolutely gorgeous. And
it's a shame we can't get pictures and videos in there, because it was amazing to watch.
But she does live local here to Colorado, so we can maybe talk to her outside of this.
But yeah, she was really impressive to watch.
It was absolutely amazing.
Anyway, so Chip's playtime.
Yeah, Chip's playtime was good. It was... I can't even really explain, like, pup headspace. It's a mixture of almost like a childlike headspace in a way where I'm not thinking about the day-to-day. I'm not thinking about, oh, I need to do this. Or
you're thinking about treats.
I'm thinking about treats, how I can get treats, and getting attention.
It's just like me wanting to get attention, but instead of treats, I just want to get sex.
That's true. But I did find it, one of my favorite treats, actually, gummy bears.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Gummy bears are, like, the best.
It was really great to see you pup playing. That was kind of part of our discovery of, you know, how we can let each other have a good time without necessarily being there. And I think that's an important lesson as a couple, like, allowing them to explore and have pleasure outside of you. And this is a good thing. This is a great thing. It's compersion. Mm-hmm. You know, when Lily was pupping, I wasn't even around. I was like, you know, the owner that just fucks off, leaves her dog in a dog park. Like, go have fun. You
try
know?
Not to hump anything.
Yeah. It's not like there's any cars you could run out in front of, so.
No, but there were pony carts.
That's true. Now you're getting me worried. Should I keep an eye on you?
No, but that brings up a good point. There's not a leash rule of thunder. Why the hell do they do that? I guess it's because of space. But it's just so annoying when you're puppying and you have to, you're basically being corralled into the, where the track is for the ponies.
Yeah, but, you know, as popular as pup and pony play is, and if you base the popularity in BDSM on how often we talk about those subjects on the podcast, and you would think it was the most popular thing in BDSM, but really it's kind of one of the smallest things.
Yeah, the biggest probably is flogging, whipping,
ropes,
suspension,
all that stuff. So, you know, the Thunder went to a slightly smaller space this year, and honestly, we were kind of lucky that we had a pony track and pup track or pup pads and all that stuff. But, you know, speaking of pupping, I mean, it was like a really big workout for you, right? Like,
oh my God, I was sweaty.
Yeah. Speaking of workouts, Kit, I understand that you've been doing some interesting things lately.
Okay. Well, first I have to ask you, have either of you heard of corgasms before?
No.
Just
not
at the second.
Yeah. I have no idea what this is.
When I first heard about a corgasm, I thought it was a joke. Okay. But this is a real thing, and has an interesting story. So a lot of you, if you've been listening for a while, you know, I love yoga and Pilates and, you know, body weight kinds of exercises. So there's this great little Reddit group, you know, body weight strength training or body weight fitness. That's what it is, our body weight fitness. And anyway, I'm scrolling through here one night and I see someone has posted a thread and it says, I have a serious question. Every time I go to work on this specific exercise I'm working on, I get an erection and it's really interfering with my workouts. Do you guys have this? And I'm like, okay, I've got to open this up. What is this? And I opened it up and there's this whole discussion about, you know, how this happens, and a lot of women too have, like, they'll be working their core and, you know, you're just in a workout headspace, you're not in a sexual headspace, but suddenly you trigger an orgasm, and it is a real thing. I looked this up. These are exercise induced orgasms, and apparently, like, it's kind of a problem in the military.
You'd think more people would be working out.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of a problem, like, passing the military test and stuff too, because people are going along, they're doing their thing, and suddenly they have to stop because they're having an orgasm, you know.
Especially if somebody's, like, yelling at you and that's your thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it's weird because it's totally a physiological thing. I mean, you're not in that headspace necessarily, but it's like blood flow and then trigger the nerves just right, and science doesn't entirely understand what's happening there, but it's kind of an exciting thing. So I've never had one, but I'm like, Pilates, here I
You're
come.
You're trying for one.
Because, yeah, I'm going to try and test it out. Well, and some people apparently are very corgasmic, so they've gotten kind of good at hiding it, but it can apparently be kind of a nuisance, because if you're in an exercise class or you're out in public and you're in the gym, you're working away, and all of a sudden, boom, you get an orgasm from your core work. You know, you're, it's kind of like, ah, I'm here in public. Oh, you know, I wasn't expecting it. It can be kind of an awkward thing. And apparently there are a few specific core exercises. Like it's mostly when you exhaust your core, apparently, and then you're doing like some things like actually pull-ups and planks and like lifting your legs when you're hanging. Like those things are kind of more common to induce them, but you could induce it by running sometimes too, and it's very interesting. So I've never done that, but I have been using a weight, like a little, an egg inside. So it's like a vaginal weight to strengthen the pelvic floor muscles, like anytime I do yoga or anytime I do any kind of exercise. And like, you know, you can really build up some good strength there. So I'm hoping with that weight, when I've got that in and I'm at home and I'm working on some extra, I'm putting in some extra time in the core strengthening, maybe I can induce one. So that's going to be my challenge, just to see, can I be corgasmic?
Oh man, that's a great goal, and you're going to become even more healthy. I mean, when you work out, or I was going to say, having sex makes you healthy in general. Masturbating is healthy, but if you're specifically working out to orgasm, it's even better.
It really is. I completely agree.
Now, I've known a girl that oftentimes would orgasm from sneezing.
Really?
No shit.
Yeah, it can happen. She said, yeah, it sounds great. It's really not. Like, because you're public, like, oh, you know.
Not good. Oh, God, that sounds amazing, actually. Oh, God.
So oh, my God, you made my day, Max. You made my day.
He really does. But speaking of crazy body functions, Max.
Wait, hold on. We're going to get to my penis soap pump in a minute. But first...
Oh, we better. This sounds really promising.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But first, Lily, have you ever had a corgasm? Because you back from working out horny. Like, she comes in hot. Like, unbelievably hot. You know, Lily will just, she'll jog on the treadmill for like 25 minutes, and she'll come back. She's like, I need something in me right the fuck now.
Yeah. I could totally see that, because every time
I've had that too. Yeah.
Maybe it's not just running, but like when I'm doing like a really hard workout, I just need to fuck after.
You do a really hard workout and then you need a really hard workout.
I like to do like yoga and stuff and then go do like a long, you know, play session and like, you know, fill the tub and light some candles and like, you know, before I'm going to do like a really long play session, I like to go do yoga. But I had that too, where it does, it gives you more energy and ramps you up after you've worked out and makes you like, you get that blood flow to your pelvis and you're ready to go.
So. I was going to say, I don't think I could come back and then do all the tub stuff. I'd be like, no, I just fuck me.
Here's an interesting thing. If working out turns you on, and I'll admit to a little bit of this, right? Like I work out, I wonder how much it might be the case that our sedentary lifestyle and TV and this sort of thing is actually negatively affecting our sex lives.
Probably quite a lot. And you would lose a lot of pelvic floor strength and stuff if you're not using
just
your
body. Thought. If we were running around chasing gazelles for food, no offense.
I don't mind being eaten once in a while.
Hey, you're not chasing a deer. I'm happy.
Oh, okay, yeah, but I will chase anything with hooves.
I know, I'm just saying. Hey, I get a little bit of a reprieve.
Were you going to say something?
Yes, because Lily said, oh, after I exercise, I don't know if I could go through a whole like long session. The reason I do is because the longer I delay orgasm, and it's really hard because you're really ready and you're like, no, you got to delay. The longer you delay, the better it is by far. And if I'm going to go to all the trouble to like set up, like I'm not just doing a quickie, like I'm setting up to do like a really full, thorough session, I'm going to drag that out as long as I can take it until I'm like begging for it. Like, shit. I can't stand it. I can't stop it. I can't stop the orgasm. It just happens. That's the way to go.
We both agree that the longer orgasms feel better, but you have to understand exactly how hot Lily is coming from working out. If she doesn't get something within her in seconds, not minutes, there will be a death.
There will be blood.
There will be blood at the very least.
That's the other thing is I almost feel like
I've been in the middle of work calls when she's come back from working out. I've been in the middle of video games. Very busy stuff. I've been in the middle of cooking stuff with a hot stove. It all has to get dropped in that moment.
See, now that's interesting, though, that, like, Lily gets, like, angry if she doesn't get rid of that sexual energy.
It's ravenous.
I will...
That's the thing is, I feel like I'm, like, almost primal. I think it's part of it, because I want to bite, I want to scratch. It's really kind of...
Yeah, which is really... angry is the right thing.
But it's like a, it's like an intense, like if I have, like if I have all that arousal and energy and I don't do anything with it, I mean, at first, like I'm sort of pushy. I'm like, got to do something with it. But if that gets denied, like I get sad and weepy and I will finally get depressed. It will put me into depression. Wow. And then I like can't masturbate. I don't want, so then it becomes this perpetuating cycle of you're too sad to do anything about it, but you need to, and you get to like pull yourself out. You got to, you know, you just got to like make it happen any way you can. So I've had that happen. True. Yeah,
there's definitely something that's kind of like a blue ball slash I can't remember what it's called for girls.
A blue oyster or
blue
something.
Clit. Blue oyster.
A blue clam. Whatever. I can't remember what it is.
Sex withdrawal, like hangover. There is like such a thing because. Yeah. If you go a certain amount of time without getting the sort of, or taking care of your needs either by yourself or whatever, and you get past that point, you go into, like Kit says, like a depression, and then you don't even want it. The thing that's going to make you feel better, you don't have the energy or desire to do.
I don't get sad or weepy. I get angry.
You sometimes get depressed, though.
Sometimes, yeah.
From my side of it. And I know that I do.
Oh my god, if you don't get sex, you get really moopy and sad, and oh my god, I just want to kill you.
So moving on to the next subject.
Your penis.
Penis
pump.
Soap pump. We got to hear about penis soap pump.
Okay, so, guys, let me tell you. This is for the penis owners of the crowd. I am 35 going on 36 now, and I've... always had this problem. Not every time I pee, but it's an occasional thing. And I know every guy out there, there's two types of guys. There are guys that will admit that this happens, and there's liars. But every once in a while...
So that one person is probably a liar that told us person. It never happens to them?
They didn't say it never happens. They said the trick didn't work for them.
Ah.
But anyway, what I'm talking about is, of course, when you go to have a nice pee... And you try to dab that dew. You try to flick the tip. You're banging that damn dick against the side of the bowl, the wall, to get every last drop, every last little morsel of that urine out. And then you go to wrap that sucker away. And the moment your bug is all snug like a rug in your underwear, it releases... sometimes small, sometimes a little bit not so small, pee into your fucking underwear.
Oh my god, I didn't even know this was a real thing. This is
oh my god, I've seen it happen so many freaking times.
And you try, you sit there, you do the whole freaking thing. Apparently, at least everyone I've talked to so far has known this, so I'm probably sounding like an idiot now, but nobody informed me. I did not get the instruction manual with my goddamn dick that said that the way that you deal with this problem... is when you've completed the urine job, you take a hand, you cup your balls, and you just do a little lift, like a little how you doing, right on the balls there, like bring them up to your shaft, and it pushes out the pee like a little soap dispenser. I read it, and I didn't believe it at first, and then I tried it, and it works!
So here we are! He comes out of a public restroom, and he's like, oh my god, I gotta tell you, we gotta talk about this on the podcast. I'm like, what the hell did you just do? Did you, you know, fall into a urinal?
This
what
has
happened?
Been a problem, because it usually will happen to me when I'm at work or something like that, and, you know, It's not like a lot of pee comes out into your underwear, but nobody wants even a little bit of a drip of it in your underwear. It's just so fucking frustrating to have that shit come out. And then you got the little bit of wet spot, and it sucks. So I'm so happy I found this, and it's amazing how well it works, because when I lifted my balls, it was totally, like, out of my hands. It just went, swoop, like, a little squirt out.
I have to say, though, from a female, you know, from a vagina-owning person, the fact that, oh, you sometimes get a little wet spot on your undies. Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of, you know,
yeah,
when
but
you
your wet spots are like beautiful gliss from the heavens. That's, well, I know that that's not how
no, because, like, if you're, you know, a, you know,
you don't
vagina,
want pee.
It's not just that, but even vagina-owning entities that are walking and they sweat there, do you realize how much sweat?
No, we don't get ball sweat and all that. That's all one thing. You don't want the pee because sometimes it'll squirt out and then you can see it through your pants or something like that.
I have seen that and I have seen this and I've wondered what has happened and I've never asked the person.
That's
because
it. It's that
too awkward.
Or in the process of trying to waggle that hose and get all the little driplets out. It goes all over your damn pants.
I
because there's
the
like
water.
An arc.
And, oh my God.
And on top of this, there's additional stress because my third girlfriend told me this little thing that apparently, it's more of a young guy thing. It's one of those things that young guys say, but it's always stay with me. If you dab your dude more than three times, you're jerking off. That's what they say. It obviously makes no sense, but there's a certain like social etiquette when you're at the urinal. Everyone can see what you're doing. You don't want to just sit there like ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
completely different topic. Well, not different topic, but a different part of this is, I don't know about anyone else out there, but I find it really bizarre, really weird, the fact that guys have to stand next to each other and pee, but girls, we each have our own little stall. It is
the,
so...
The urinal versus stall thing is actually interesting, but I will say that for expediency, and in a lot of cases, it's a lot more comfortable if you're just doing a pee thing to not have to sit down and do the whole... like beyond the toilet thing. Plus, when you're talking about in public, a lot of people don't like to sit right on the toilet seat. Yeah. You know, they put all the stuff on, and this way you get to avoid it. So, you know, I tend to do a urinal if it's available and there's not like people around me. And there's a whole thing about where you go
but
next to people.
This is something you learned as, you know, from our social, being social in the society. What if as young adults, we had as females just regular like little stalls that only went up to like here, so like up to your head, so your head was showing.
What are you saying?
It's more of, I'm really curious if it's the stalls make it private. I don't know, I just find it very interesting the fact that girls have stalls.
Wait, it's all about the urinals. They put here's the real reason urinals exist. And if anyone tells you something different, they're also lying. The reason urinals exist is because urinals are less expensive than a toilet. That's why they're everywhere in public. And that's why you don't usually see them in private, right? Because you have a toilet, it serves one purpose. But if you have to have a certain number of facilities, a urinal is a great way to not have to buy more toilets and put stalls around it. And in some cases, urinals are literally fucking sheet metal that Billy Bob Joe Hansen bent together, and it just, you just all pee into a big hole and it sounds like rain on a metal roof.
Well, plus, like, I mean, guys can just unzip too, you know. I mean, for us, like, we've got to pull our pants all the way down and like you're partially naked, and it's just, it's more, I don't know, I'm glad there are stalls. I'm just happy about that. And I don't know.
I want fully private stalls.
I think that's part of
why
it's cleaner too. Men's restrooms are just filthier than women's. Every single one I've ever been in.
Actually, that is a misnomer. I can guarantee you.
See, I've heard the opposite. I've heard that the female restrooms are usually nastier.
Oh my god! Though all the female restrooms, especially like in my, like work and stuff, the female restrooms are way nastier than the males.
I have
like, girls
not seen it because I. Like, I worked for a while, like, helping, like, yeah, it was in an elementary school. But, yeah, like, the, I don't know, the male bathrooms were, And the shared bath. I don't know.
What were you doing in the male bathroom, Zerika?
Cleaning. Cleaning. Oh. Yeah, cleaning stuff. So I thought they were a lot gross. And things that I've heard from people who go in the men's restrooms, or it just sounds a lot grosser than women's, but I don't know because I'm not in there regularly. And when I was,
I've
like,
totally
doing
heard
stuff,
the opposite
a long time ago. Yeah,
yeah,
and
I've seen
a little bit out of bounds for this podcast. I've heard that women's bathrooms tend to have the problems with explosive stuff on the walls.
No, it's not the explosive. It's not just that. Women's restrooms have issues, and I'm sorry to say, clean up your goddamn blood.
Oh,
I've never seen anything like that. Like, and
I
no,
have,
like, toilet like, paper on the floor. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a smaller town place versus a city type place. But I'm telling you, they're pretty decent.
There's gonna be, but like
regional variations.
There's regional, but I can tell you, I've lost count the number of times where you go into like, you know, a work restroom and the females actually forget, you know, when you have your monthly and you accidentally dribble on the seat.
I've never seen that, ever.
You know what? I totally forgot. I must be blocking out. I had to clean the female restroom when I was a lifeguard. It was always a disaster.
I'm telling you, it's nasty. Huh.
But in that case, they were single bathrooms, right, where you could lock the door. And I feel like when you have that situation, when it's not a public restroom,
yeah,
it's lockable, there's all sorts of extra sins that come into play.
Yeah, the ones where you can just lock the door that are single, they're always much, much nastier. But I've never seen any of the stuff that you're describing. Like, not even at the, like, gas station bathrooms here.
See, and that's I've totally
you're lucky.
Seen that.
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God.
Uh-uh. The worst, like, I've seen it just maybe some toilet paper on the floor or something, but that's pretty uncommon. Like, usually it's pretty clean. Pretty clean and good to go, mostly. I mean, it's, you know, not as clean as you would keep it at home, but it's decent. Very weird.
And actually, the cleanest bathrooms I've ever seen have always been at the airports.
And those are, like, less clean than, at least the ones I've seen are less clean than what I normally see. So it might be a regional difference, just less people using a restroom and they just keep it cleaner. It might just be because I'm where less people are and so it's less of a mess. But I have never seen any of the things. It would freak me out if I walked into a restroom that filthy. I don't think I could pee. I think I would hold it.
Yeah, like just today I walked into the... Just today, I walked into the female restroom to go to the bathroom, and two out of the three stalls, people didn't flush.
I have seen that once or a few times, like that.
Oh my God,
I've seen that a few times, which is, I mean, that's not really, but I don't know, like, sometimes if there's one that's not working and, like, there's a line of people or something, I've seen people, like, direct you and say, this one doesn't flush, you know, wait, and, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I've never really had problems with that. Maybe I've just been lucky, but. Interesting. Well,
yeah.
Well, I think I've heard all I need to hear about women's restrooms.
Way more than we ever wanted to hear. Way more.
But yeah, if you a guy and you didn't know about the penis pump soak trip, which is what I'm going to call it, you know, let me know. Let me know if I've helped keep those pants a little cleaner.
Yeah.
Usually you like to make pants dirty on this podcast, but in this case, we'll make an exception.
So, tell me about this Monster Erotica stuff. I'm curious what you're listening to.
So, I have actually been listening to... I actually just finished the audiobook for...
That's right. She just finished it right before she got here.
Yeah. It was actually... It's called The Castle of Count Shagula. I'm telling you. Oh, my God. So
it's a book written by Justin McCormick. And narrated by Hedge T. Hayden. Now, Hedge T. Hayden is actually a sexplorer. They are in our chat, and they voice this audiobook.
So, I have to tell you, this audiobook...
Now, I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to listen to it.
Let's just say... So, I started listening to this and, you know, was actually putting a puzzle together while listening to this erotica. And I want to say I got maybe, like, 15 minutes in, and I'm like... I need to go to the other room. Because
and what's funny about this is it's actually, and this is good information if you plan on listening to this book, it's all gay male, right?
Yep, it's all homoerotic.
Homoerotic?
That's actually
what is that the term?
Yeah, they call it in the book homoerotic.
All I can think of is a quote from Jurassic Park when he's like, is this auto-erotica? What he's talking about the machines.
Oh my god, and it's actually the puns in this book are absolutely
very
amazing.
Trisexuals friendly, it sounds like.
Oh my god, so there were times I was laughing my ass off and times I'm like, oh my god.
That sounds like my kind of thing right there.
Yeah, and it was hot and everything at the...
Give away too much. What we'll probably do is Kit and I will also listen to it coming up soon, if you're down for that, Kit. And then we can actually have a special episode where we talk about it. How's that sound?
I am down for the one. I see there's one here called Dr. Wankenstein.
That's the next one I'm going to listen to. Yeah, that's part two. So that's The Tales of Monster Erotica. And it's...
Yeah, so thank you for bringing this book to our attention. We'll link it in the show notes if you guys want to listen along, and then we can talk about it on the episode. And then we'll have an official, like...
I do have to warn those out there that want to listen to this, don't do what I did and listen to it on the train. I basically got home and had to shag Max.
Shag? Ooh, shag.
That was in the book, too.
Ah.
But I was like, yeah...
Every time someone says shag, I think Austin Power.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. It's good. It's really good.
So let me give a warning. If you're going to be seeing me, then you should listen to this book, and then we can shag, baby. I can work on my impression a little bit.
Yes, please work on your impression.
Oh, get out of here, you...
But it was good. I quite enjoyed it, and I've actually been listening to a different vampire book as well, where there's a lot
not
of
as punny.
It's not as punny, no. But there's a lot of sex in it. Oh my god. a lot of vampire sex.
So any vampire story, even if it doesn't have sex on it, when they get to the part where they're biting, it's all considered full penetration, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of sucking.
Lily's looking at me like she's gonna bite me.
I kind of do.
You kind of do what?
I want to bite you.
You want to bite me?
Really bad.
Help me.
Call the police.
Call the police.
Oh,
gosh. Sexplorers, one thing I want to mention before we move to Race to the Gutter is we will be announcing soon an awesome giveaway. We've talked about it a little bit before. We have a paddle that we're going to be giving away. It has Yiff on it, written backwards, so if you spank somebody with it, it'll write Yiff on their butt. Made by Regalia Paddles, listener of the podcast. And so we're going to be giving it away. Details will be announced soon, but I think we're going to do a drawing contest. Mm-hmm. Not actually like whoever draws the best wins. You're just going to have to submit a drawing in order to be entered to win. So, you know, that way if you're worried that your drawing skills aren't up to par, you know, that's fine. I think we're going to offer a couple different options. We're going to have an outline of the paddle so you can color it in. And we're going to have like maybe an online thing where you can color it in as well and then take a screenshot of it. So look for that fun thing coming up soon. So now it's time for Race to the Gutter. Now, this is the segment where we have a random phrase generated and we try to come up with a funny sexual definition for it. Now, I know that last time we did Spacefarer Doggo Spacefarer, and we never opened that up to Sexplorers, so hopefully by the time this podcast goes live, I'll have both of them up so you guys can give us your responses, and then we can read both sets of those on the next podcast. I apologize for that. You can take it out on my butt later. So, today's phrase is top drawer wood. Oh. And I'll go first because I almost never go first.
Wah, wah, wah.
No, I don't want... going first is the worst.
Continue.
All right, so top drawer wood. So, where I'm going with this is something that used to happen to me when I was in school, and I would have wood that was so big, so hard, and so annoying, it would rub up on the drawer of my desk, that top drawer that says my top drawer wood, when you are so hard, it hits the bottom side of your desk.
Oh, my. Oh, my. What about you, Kit? What do you got?
Well, the only thing I can think of was top drawer wood. So if we imagine that we've got a anus in the bottom drawer and a vulva in the top drawer, and you put your wood in the top drawer, that's top drawer wood. Like that's it. All I got.
You have your bottom drawer wood, and you have your top drawer wood.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. So I am thinking top drawer wood is their actual sex toys made out of wood, and they're your favorite, so they're actually put on the top in your top drawer.
The ones that are in the top drawer. You grab them. I like it.
I like that.
I'm being literal today.
Well, that's fine. Literal works.
That's fine. The first, the very first thing that occurred to me, I was like, what if it's a top and you drop your drawers and there's your wood? That could be top drawer wood.
I like that one too. That was good. There's so many different ways you can go. Top drawer wood.
Yeah.
All I can think now is top cider.
No, we're not talking about top cider. All right. I'm officially shutting this podcast down before we get into embarrassing stories. Yeah, I always say that. It's almost like it's a meme or possibly a tradition.
Almost like.
You talking too close to the microphone?
Set your dick on fire.
No! Do not set your dick on fire.
Hey, I haven't said that in, two podcasts.
We talked about it last podcast.
Oh.
You've been listening to the Trisexuals Podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the podcast, join us on Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and Reddit. Please join us on Telegram by going to chat.trisexualsmedia.com. Links and other information can be found in the show notes. I'm Max Chameleon, the penis soap pump.
I'm Lily Chameleon, the mistress of Shagula.
And I'm Kit. So forget the oldies, because I'm going to be sweating to the corgasm. All right!
Here we go. Work those kegels, honey.
This podcast has been demonetized. Hi, Sexplorers. It's your good friend Max here, looking out for you as always. So here's the deal. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but in case you missed it, now is the time, if you do not like hearing about needles or suturing or possibly blood or other sort of potentially triggering medical play-like BDSM things, now is the time to turn off the podcast and pretend like this last part doesn't even exist at all. If this stuff really kind of interests you, then now is your chance to stay on the line and listen to Lily and me talk about this fresh new experience that Lily had with fresh new unsutured eyes. Ugh. So here we are. This is your last chance to nope out of this experience. I'm here sitting with Lily. There is no Kit. She noped out. I wish I could nope out. I can't. But here I am.
Are you sure? I mean, I could just sit here and just talk to myself.
Well, I couldn't have that. I'm happy to be here with you. We are going to be talking about Lily's fresh experiences that she had at some of the more challenging classes at Thunder. So, without further interruption, Lily, tell us about what you've experienced.
So, at Thunder, I actually got a chance to go to a suturing class. So,
what is suturing?
Suturing is basically when you get actual sutures or
suturing is sutures. You don't say.
Would it be stitches? Yes, when you actually get stitches, and this is done as a pain pleasure, actually kind of play. And it can be done as a domination scene, all sorts of things. And it's not just about actual stitches. You can use staples too. The beginning part of this class, they actually had a person come up a bottom, and this guy who's actually in a surgeon, he's a certified doctor, he actually put staples in this person's fingertips and feet. And I'm not just talking about staples that you get like from the hardware store. These are actual surgical grade.
Oh, they are. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, it's actual surgical staples. So please, 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 before you do any of this kind of stuff, you know, do your research, get the, you know, right sanitation.
Go to a class.
Go to a class, you know, go under somebody, have someone teach you how to do this correct way, because you are, you know, using, you know, human skin and a person, and the infection, you can get really bad staph infections from this stuff. So, you know, the actual beginning part of this class was all about, like, what kind of needles are used, you know, how to sterilize the actual place you're going to stitch, you know, all this kind of stuff. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just adjusting. As you may have inferred, listeners, I did not partake in this class. I really went this as a little solo adventure. I tend to pass out. In actuality, in this thunder, I did a good job. I saw some pretty hardcore stuff with people getting hung from hooks. And I was able to watch it, and I was actually kind of worried at how little effect it had on me. And the suturing, I made the decision, I don't really need to see this. It wasn't a thing that I was really all that noped out on. I was also very busy, you know, doing director stuff.
You really were. But this was a class, like, I've been interested in this kind of stuff a little bit, you know, especially because I am into more, like, gore, GIF, and stuff like that. So, what?
Twisted little mind.
So, this class was centered around this person getting their mouth actually sewed together. So if you ever think of anything like a zombie, you know how like, or if, like a voodoo person, they
I was thinking like the Sally, the doll from
Yeah. It's like that. It's like the, it's like those heads, you know, like the shrunken heads. You all right?
Yeah, I just heard a change in audio.
So yeah, it's like the shrunken heads that you see with like the stitches. And actually, the doctor was telling us about how when he does these for different people, he has his own signature that he does with the actual going in and out of the lips. And so some people do like crosses versus up and down versus horizontal. There's so many different ways of actually doing this. And, you know, I guess because we are putting this on the side, I will get a little bit more down and dirty, but it was
actually... Listen, people have had enough warning at this point, so talk about what you want.
So, it was really amazing to watch, like, you know, you've seen people get sutured or whatever on TV, it's no, whatever, no big deal, but actually seeing it in front of you...
It's kind of a big deal, well, even when like, it's on TV.
But I mean, it feels like it's not real, but when it's, like, right there in front of you, and you actually get to see, like, okay, so the needle goes in, and it's actually curved, so it's considered
it's got, like, fish hooks or
yeah, it's considered a suture's needle is actually what it's called, and so you have the forceps, and the forceps are, or not forceps, they're crocodile clamps or whatever, and they're able to pull the needle, and just watching how the skin reacts. And I have to say, I was surprised there was not a lot of blood. I was like preparing myself that there was going to be a lot of blood, but there really wasn't. I was really like amazed that there wasn't. And, you know, just watching this person, and she actually came from it.
Wait, she did?
Yeah, she actually came from, they brought in a wand.
Oh. I don't know.
Well, no, she was already...
came during it.
But... Well, she was already wet, and she was actually moaning through the whole thing.
You people. And you wonder why I think that maybe thunder isn't the best place for me to explore my sexuality. You crazy people.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was actually really interesting to watch, and it makes me wonder, like, I'm curious. Like, I don't know if I want to actually have it done to me. I might want to try it on somebody, but I want to definitely...
So how would you do that without the medical training?
And that's the thing, is I'd have to do medical training. I want to see more of it. And it's kind of like, I am curious about, there's other classes about cutting and things like that I'm actually kind of curious about.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing with Thunder is they offer classes on all, you know, the whole gamut. They have the introductory stuff for people, it's their first time going. And then they have this more advanced stuff. And, you know, a lot of people are in there. I mean, I'd say in your classroom, mm-hmm. there was probably, what, 50 plus people?
About 50, yeah.
50, maybe a little bit less. I don't know. I'm bad at estimating numbers.
It was between 30 to 50 people.
You know, and people were very interested. Did anyone, like, have to get up and leave?
No. Well, a couple people went back to their chairs. Like, they actually had us come up and circle around the actual table so you could get an up close and personal actually view. A couple people sat back and let us newbies, they've never seen this before, actually get a really good look. But I can't reiterate enough how important it is to sanitize, to really get...
I mean, that all goes without saying.
Oh, God. And, like, help...
I would hope.
Yeah, well, he was telling us about all these horror stories of people just doing whatever, using alcohol.
Alcohol doesn't work?
Well, it works when you have like an open wound and you need to clean it really fast before going on. Remember, Dr. What's his name? Wolverine was telling us about that. But these people would actually use actual like liquor.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about that.
Yeah, people would actually use liquor and then they would get a really bad infection.
Yeah, imagine that.
You know, and then, of course, you have to go to the doctors and explain to them, well, how the fuck did you get this?
Suturing myself? Yeah.
Yeah, and it opens up so many possibilities of all the different things we get to suture. Like, I've seen things where people actually get like almost like a corset ribbon all the way down their back.
Yeah, were those sutures, though, or was that just, I think that's called something else. Suture is when you actually have, like, the the thread or whatever. And the ones I've seen, they actually use, like, ribbon. It looks like the back of
a corset.
A corset or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And I think in one of those cases, they use staples.
No, that could be. I've seen rings and different stuff. Well, like I said, not really my thing, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Did you get sexual enjoyment out of it?
I don't know if I got sexual enjoyment. I got some sort of pleasure. I got more of a, like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I got a head rush because I'm not sure if it was erotic versus scary versus...
It was an experience.
That's, yeah. I'm not sure yet how I fully feel. But yeah, that is what happened. And thank you for those that stayed back and listened.
It's a really sexy voice right there.
Yeah. Well, I try. And, you know, I am the mistress of Shagula.
All right. I got to go.
I don't know. I mean, maybe our listeners want to hear me talk erotic to them.
Ooh. Well, this is their gift for the reward for listening.
Yeah. Maybe I'll talk a little erotic to them at some point.
What's something you'd like to do to the listener that's listening right now?
I would probably... take my tongue and just slowly caress up and down their jugular.
Jugular?
Yeah, feeling the veins throb.
you had me at first.
No, but I would probably take my tongue and just slowly kiss up and down their neck and shoulders and just maybe put my tongue just a little bit. Just right there at the tip of their little lip.
All right. Well, now we got to go.
Yeah, now we got to go. I actually need to get food.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. Love ya.